page 105. Good knowing advisors, the ability to cultivate the conduct of not dwelling inwardly or outwardly, of coming and going freely, of casting away the grasping mind, and of unobstructed penetration is basically no different from the Prajna Sutra. The ability to cultivate the conduct of not dwelling inwardly or outwardly. Well, in this book, inwardly means the seeing one's own nature. Outwardly means the Buddhist scripture written in the world. So not dwelling, the conduct to cultivate the ability to cultivate the conduct of not dwelling inwardly or outwardly. This is the meaning of the Prajna Paramita in the, I think in the Diamond Sutra. In this book also, the sixth patriarch attained enlightenment when he heard the passage of Diamond Sutra saying a bodhisattva has his thought awakened without abiding anything, whatever. Then he attained enlightenment. And in the Lankavatara Sutra, D.G. Suzuki mentions about this. His commentary says, Lankavatara, page 95, the Tathagata has no dwelling place in the sense that all his thoughts and doings have no exterior or ulterior objects in view to which he desires to adapt himself. And therefore, that he is like the sun that shines on everybody, just and unjust, or like the lily in the field that blooms in its best, even when there is nobody around to admire its supra Salomonic array. Do you understand? Supra Salomonic. Solomonic.
Refers to Solomon.
Solomon, yes. Supra Salomonic array. I don't know. So that without doing abiding anything or whatever, that means purity, the one's nature, or one's original nature. Original nature of the self is clean and pure. When it is walking in one's life, It is working without abiding anything, whatever. Okay. The says all his thoughts and doings have no exterior and ulterior objects in view to which he desires to adapt himself. Exterior and ulterior objects in view to what he desires to adapt himself. This is very common usual attitude, usual tendency towards human life. We always do it. Very strongly, sometimes unconsciously we do. Is that clear? Okay.
Adapting like to sort of mold ourselves to some belief system.
Belief system and justify self justification and self protection. Many ways.
Belief systems about ourselves.
Right.
What we can do and can't do.
I think if you read the Agama, I think Buddha's life is just like that, you know, the not everyone respected him. Some tried to hurt him or interrupt his life from in many ways, religiously or in his life. But Buddha Shakyamuni always deal with the situation and without staying for long. Without staying for long, this means an escaping. Just deal with the situation simply. but inside, I think he seemed to suffered a lot, but in the sutra, but his behavior, doings are very simple. Practiced takuhatsu and baking the one bridge, and from the end, beginning to end, he walked, but at that time, village people had celebrated something, so all people they decided not to give any offerings to the Buddha Shakyamuni. So he walked the village, but nobody gave anything. So in end of the village, he was a little bit hesitated to leave there because nothing. He didn't have anything to eat. So he thought he tried to come back once more again, but anyway, he just thought, but he left there. So that's human feeling, human suffering there. He is a Buddha, but he is also human. Okay. Dwelling inwardly and outwardly, of coming and going freely, of casting away, coming and going freely. My teacher said to me that when I went down to the village to perform Buddha service, after Buddha service, village people wanted to talk with me, so finally I stayed long after performing services. And sometimes all morning, you know, staying at one person's house. So he mentions, if you finish performing Buddha service, you should leave as soon as possible. And that is also pretty important for us, of coming and going freely. You know, it seems to be easy, but it's not so easy. Of casting away the grasping mind, this is also very strongly, minutely, this grasping mind is always working in individual life. Casting away the grasping mind, and this is our practice, everyday practice, casting away the grasping mind. I think you cannot cast away, you cannot take out grasping mind and throw it away. You cannot do it. So in order to do this, I think from moment to moment, you must be just present there, and then next moment you have to do it, you know, with wholeheartedness. That naturally, you can, naturally grasping mind drops off. Casting away grasping mind, and of unobstructed penetrations, that is concentrations. Concentration samadhis, shikan, wholeheartedness, is basically no different from the Prajna Sutra. This is the meaning of Prajna. Next, page 107, bottom. Good knowing advisors, all sutras and writings of the great and small vehicles, the 12 divisions of sutras, have been devised because of people, established because of the nature of wisdom. If there were no people, the 10,000 dhammas wouldn't exist. Therefore, you should know that all dhammas are originally postulated because of people, and all sutras are spoken for their sakes. I think he says nothing separate from a person. Everything exists related with person, visibly, invisibly. Okay, now that is most important. Is that clear? This is nothing exists without relating with you. Visibly, invisibly, consciously or unconsciously. maybe you have a question even though we don't have any relation going to say Japan or tree or bird. We believe birds exist. So very naturally we discuss about, we begin to argue. But whatever you say, birds, I know the bird now because they are singing now. So we say birds exist. But there are many birds seems not to have relation with me now. But they exist. So as long as they exist, they have no close relation with me. So very naturally there is a relation, idea of relation and not relation. Whatever you say. Non relation means already you are thinking of it. Birds, you are thinking of the bird who has no relation, which has no relation with me. That is already, you have a relation. Okay? And also you say neutral, but you don't care. Beyond relation or no relation, that something exists. Well, like unknown planet, okay? Unknown planet, it's neutral. Completely beyond your idea of relation or no relation. But even though you say neutral, that is already in your mind. So from this point, without you, without the person, nothing exists. So this is a Buddhistic understanding because it is a philosophical background based on the teaching of interdependent co-origination. Okay? Interdependent co-origination. That here says, all sutras, writings of great and small vehicles, all sutras, 12 divisions of sutra. I think 12 divisions of the sutra in the commentary. I think he mentions about this one. I look at page 108. 12 divisions of sutra text are, first one, prose, this is a usual sutra we say, and verse, and transmitting of prediction, that is vyakarana. Vyakarana means predictions. In Lotus Sutra, I think chapter, you will find the chapter named Vyakarana Prediction. Buddha Shakyamuni gave prediction to 500 arahats and 500 lay people, etc. So that is transmitting of predictions, interpolations, in Sanskrit we say gaya, G-E-Y-A, gaya, interpolations. The speaking of Dharma without its having been requested. Six, a discussion of causes and conditions. Analogies, and eight, events of the past lives of the Buddhas, events of the past lives of the Bodhisattvas and disciples, writings which explain principle in an especially expansive way. 11. Dharma which has never been spoken before. And commentary. Those are many 12 kinds of sutra. Okay. So that is the 12 divisions of sutra have been devised because of people. So many people in this world, there are many people, that's why many sutras, many scriptures, and also many religions, many denominations, and established because of the nature of wisdom, because nature is one, wisdom is one, but I think when the wisdom will start to work in the human world, I think it takes in some form of its own. That is a form of tree, form of birds, and then form of a personality, different personalities. If there were no people, the 10,000 dharmas wouldn't exist. Therefore, you should know that all dharmas are originally postulated because of people. And all sutras are spoken for their sake. So I think the sutras and commentaries and thought, philosophies and psychologies, those things comes from human heart, human life. Okay, human life. But when you deal with the sutras and scriptures and some teachings, very natural people try to mold our life into teaching by strong belief of those sutras. Those teachings, forgetting the originally those teachings come from human heart, human life. Usually our ways will be reversed. Do you understand? So I think that's why I mentioned. Always, you can read the scriptures and studies, but you have to take time to digest. Anyway, to digest is very important for us. Otherwise, you fall into the ism and ideologies, fall into the pessimism and optimism, some kind of ism, by strong belief of different conclusions of human life, different conclusion of outlook on life and the human world, and then you hold strongly, and you put your life into that isms. Then if you see somebody else who don't believe same teachings as you believe, your belief, then you critical toward them and argue. So very naturally you are looking the world in terms of your different conclusion of outlook, conclusion of life, according to very important outlook on life in the world you have researched. Okay. That is very dangerous. very naturally. In the religious, in the religious world, people fight. Is that clear? So I think the that is I mentioned the other day. Even the other day, you know, according to the argument Buddha always mentions. To accept this the idea of outlook on the life and the world, but you cannot hold strongly and argue with the peoples. You have to be always. You have to always practice coming and going freely. So in Buddhism, Shakyamuni Buddha uses nirvana, term nirvana. Nirvana means you have to be free from any kind of experience. Enlightenment or not enlightenment. Mysticism and the superpowers, whatever. All these experience of superpower or enlightenment or mysticism should come into nirvana and melt it away. That is called nirvana. So nirvana is highest level of spirituality. Okay. And then page 108. Some people are deluded and some are wise. The deluded are small people and the wise are great people. The deluded questions, question the wise, and the wise teach Dharma to the deluded. When the deluded people suddenly awaken and understand, their minds open to enlightenment and they are no longer different from wise. Do you have questions? Among the people who are very important, because without the existence of the people, you cannot see anything to exist. So, in other words, everything related with you. Everything, visibly, invisibly. But among those people, there are many, two beings, the deluded and the wise. But they are, the deluded and the wise are not separated. That's why they are related. The deluded are small people, the wise are great people. The deluded question the wise, and the wise teach Dharma to the deluded. When the deluded people suddenly awaken and understand, their minds are open to enlightenment. And they are no longer different from wise. A good knowing advisor, advisors, and enlightened, the Buddha is a living being. At the time, at the time of a single enlightened thought, the living being is Buddha. Here is a different beings. When you become the deluded, when you become the wise. So when you are enlightened, the Buddha becomes a living being. This is the attitude of your doings. Your doings every day. Behavior and doings. When you mad, Buddha becomes a living being, usual beings. Mud being, okay? When you smile, you are Buddha. In a moment, even a single, that's why next, at the time of a single enlightened thought, enlightened mind, then our living beings become a Buddha. So originally you are Buddha, but Buddha appears in many ways. Usual beings, hungry beings, ghost being, hungry ghost being, and at least you appear always in the 10 category of existence. So that's why Buddha is, Zen Master says in Japan, Buddha is just like a double mask. You are original Buddha, but according to your behavior and the doings, you become a robbery, you become wise, you become the deluded. So that is a fact of your life, even though you believe you have attained enlightenment. You never know how long you can maintain that experience of enlightenment, because every day is really something. So you have to pay careful attention to your behavior and attitude. That he says, and therefore you should know that the 10,000 dharmas exist totally within your own mind. Okay? Your own mind means, this mind means related with your physical conditions. So mind and body. Why don't you, from within your own mind, suddenly see the true suchness of your original nature? Okay. So, what is Buddha nature? What is Buddha? That's why Dogen Zenji mentions about the Buddha nature very in detail in the Shobo Kenzo.
So this double mask is the ongoing need to awaken to our catchments.
Mm-hmm.
So this double mask you refer to?
Double mask means a dualistic world.
Yeah.
Dualistic world. The dualistic world is produced by the attitude or doings of not coming and going freely. That is very naturally you appear in many ways. Going to Buddha's teaching, at least 10 category of existence. Hells, hungry gods, fighting spirits, etc. Okay.
The question on the first section that you spoke about.
Hmm?
I have a question on the first thing that you said. Now there is the sound of the bird, and I have a vision of the floor and the or emotion in my chest. Mm-hmm. So I want to know how these three are grasped as objects and how they are not as objects. How is it that I create them as objects or don't create them as objects?
Well, I think, do you understand his meaning? Your question is, how do we create an object or non-object? Related with the three things, flowers, and birds, and what would
you? My emotion.
Doing
my sensation.
Are you asking that in relationship to inwardly and outwardly?
Just
you touch
objects.
How do we relate?
Well, you mentioned both having objects and not having objects. So I want to know what is the difference. How do we relate to objects? How do we relate to not objects?
Well, not object or not the related, not related with object or not object. That is already the world is in the system of cognitions. Okay, do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
You are already living in the circle, in the realm of the cognition thinking. So you say, this object, birds, doesn't relate with me now, because I am related with the floor, so we say. So immediately, the birds and floors already becomes object, which has what you relate with. So whatever you say, everything is object with what you relate. Mm-hmm. Whatever you say, not relate or neutral situation, neutral object,
mm-hmm.
all are related with you.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you mean?
No, because you referred beyond that to something else that you called not relating. We're not being attached to objects.
Well, if you see that situation through your, if you see deeply your existence, how your life relates with all living beings, visibly, invisibly, and then you can see the bottom of, you can see the situation, state of the bottom of existence. That is completely beyond your thinking. Thinking or not thinking. So all are completely connected. That is teaching of interdependent origination. From this point, beyond your thinking or not thinking, all are connected. That's why this earth is connected with unknown planets, which we don't know. Now how the earth is hanging in the space, we don't know, but it's there. So all are related. We don't know reason why, but you can see the fact that the earth is hanging in the space, you know. I don't know if it's a appropriate word, hanging or nothing to hang, Earth is in space. So, many things we don't know, but they are supported human world.
I don't know if you understand me. You seem to be answering some sort of different question. When there's a floor in front of me. Now, when I think about it, I create the floor as an object. In relation to me. But the teachings say that this is, that it shouldn't have an object. That's a mistake. Sometimes creating myself in relation to the floor is a mistake. It's delusion. So what is it like? What is the experience of not having an object? Because I don't believe that I always have an object.
Yes.
So what's subtly an experience? What is the difference when there's object, when there's no object?
Well, that's what Buddhist psychology, according to Buddhist psychology, I think object, when you see the object, a floor, I think it is not, we don't see the exactly seeing the object as it is, because the object is the, what would you say, come into your organs. So seeing, eyes and hearing, ears and etc. organs. And assimilate it. And then consciousness see that floor in your, in the organs, in your organs, okay? And then we say it is floors. So floor, we have understood, is, well, reflection from human mind. That's why Buddhism says in that way. This is, and also the human mind, human organs are already produced by interdependent, the conditional elements and the facts. So the particular characteristic there. So very complicated. So personally, if I see the floor, your understanding and my understanding, that is the floor, we say. That is an object named floor. But a floor is free, the true nature of the floor is beyond our understanding, our experience, because it is exactly the same as you, your existence, basically. Okay. But if you see floor, human mind comes first, I there, then that is. But basically, there is no discrimination between them. So we have to, that's why we have to see very deeply human beings, human world, very deeply, and what is the state of ultimate being, the ultimate being. The ultimate state of being.
I'm in discrimination, and that's what's happening, and I have a choice between that or some future seeing of ultimate nature. You're making it sound very different than my present experience.
Your present experience is always present experience is already in the realm of cognitions.
Mm-hmm.
Cognition. That's what we believe. This exists. So if you see the suffering, that is suffering as a fact.
Mm-hmm.
But originally, it's suffering. Yes, we believe it is still real, but it's not real. You can experience, don't you?
Well, that's what I'm trying to talk about.
Yes.
You make it sound very different, not related at all to present.
It's related. We don't ignore the Buddhistic effort is how can you understand how we should understand floors as it is. And then if you understand as it is, what we have to do is how we should live there. Not only in the realm of cognition, or not only the objective state of existence. B.
beyond this one, how do we get related with the floors and the eyes and all living beings? This is what is the effort. But usually we always seeing the world, seeing the people in terms of individual experience. That's why individual experience is fine, but Buddhist effort is, what is individual experience? Once more again, then try to understand deeply. Do you have something to say to his questions?
I don't think I really understand your question.
I don't.
Do you think you understand my question?
I think so, but no. So, can't you?
I think maybe it has something to do with time. It was interesting that when you asked the question about how do we, he's making it sound like there's some difference between his explanation and your experience now. So, I'm wondering if he could repeat again what might be to relate what he's talking about to your experience, how you might experience that now.
Well, let me try it from a different point of view.
Excuse me. Your question is, here is your experience of the floor as an object, okay? This is a fact. But your question is, how can we know the object which has no relation, or free from your experience?
Okay.
That's what you mean?
I don't think so.
Okay, you can explain reasons once more again.
Okay, I'm referring to, if I see the floor, then I've created objects. Okay, this is delusion. So I'm asking, what is the experience, the difference between the experience of the floor as object, as delusion, or between pure vision, true vision of the floor? And you're making it sound like you're talking about some, there's no relation, there's some other experience. You're not answering my question. Like Dogen says, from the first dullness and distraction are struck aside. He doesn't say, someday you will see the truth and then dullness and distraction will be struck aside. But you seem to be saying that. You're not answering my question.
I think the little bit the spiritual life, I think I can say, how can I say, quality of spiritual life is based on 2 points. One is awareness, awakening, okay? Seeing deeply the ultimate nature of existence, okay? Ultimate state of existence, that is awareness or enlightenment, we say. Second is salvation, okay? Salvation. The first one, awakening, is experienced through or with the wisdom, deep knowledge, okay? Salvation is practice itself, okay? So, a spiritual life consists of oneness of the awareness and salvation. That is called faith, we say, okay? With the faith, you can understand the total picture of existence, related with and the diluting of the object and not diluted with purity of object. Okay? That is a total picture. They are connected with each other. So, but usually we are always separate. Okay? So, if you want to practice spiritual life, I think you have to see that how the deluded world and also purity of the world are working together interdependently. So for this, I think we need both awareness and also salvation. And maybe salvation, I don't know. Salvation is important word or not. Salvation is practice itself. Okay? So how can you practice is, I think, flow experience, we can say flow activity. I mention always. Just do it. Just something going. So how can you do it? I think we need a form. When you do get sure, this is a form. So you have to put yourself in the form, and then you should take care of a form with wholeheartedness. This is immediately, that is called practice. And within the practice, salvation, you are saved. From idea of a deluded of object, or from purity of object. Because original, what makes it possible for two ideas to exist? This is a question. So that is ultimate state of beings. So very naturally, you must understand that the ultimate state of existence, and also you have to live there. For this, so two ways. And the awakening and also salvation. So one is both are one. So you have to do it. That time you can know it. Okay? That is called so-called faith, and we say. Otherwise, psychological, philosophical, we discuss, we don't understand it. Still separation there. So, well, how can you be free from? How can you be free from? How can we understand that oneness? Okay? So that is a salvation, we say salvation. But salvation is what? Salvation comes from understanding? No. Experience? No. That is a religious philosophy, you know. So it's not, you can't get. So salvation should come from practice, flow activities. Now, for this, we need a form, okay? The form should be understood very deeply in terms of religious philosophy. That is awareness. And also experience. We have to understand deeply. Do you have something to say to his question? Is that okay?
So to understand deeply floor as object, what Robert's asking is really to take care of floor.
Yeah, I think so.
Because you see you're interconnected with mm-hmm. the floor, that you're supported by mm-hmm. floor. So to take care of floor means that you really respect it as a Buddha.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you're saying?
Sure.
So
not the separated, you know, deluded of floor and purity of a floor are same. But it's not same, they are not same, they are different, but they are not different. That is called oneness. That's why if you study Buddhism, always, one is all is one. What do you mean? And form is emptiness is form. They are not separate. But if you say in words, there is a separation. Okay? So I don't know how to say, but constantly we have to say. So Nagarjuna always mentions everything is emptiness. Yes, but emptiness is emptiness. And then next, emptiness is emptiness. Constantly we have to say. So forever you have to argue. Forever you have to say, where is the salvation? Where is the salvation means where is the peace? Can you see the limitation of knowledge?
Well, it sounds to me like you're pointing out the limitation of knowledge, but and referring me beyond knowledge. So I appreciate that, but you seem to also just be ignoring the sense of knowledge and any usefulness of that.
No, not
you seem to be refusing to answer my question.
Not ignoring, but I think you should know the limitation of knowledge. If you see limitation of knowledge, is simultaneously great, is great power, influence, strength, which makes your life turn. So realization of a limitation of knowledge is simultaneously, not limitations, free from knowledge, they're not separate. That's why what we can talk about is what knowledge which is limited. I cannot talk about, you know, no limitation of knowledge, no. So if I talk about no knowledge, no limitation of knowledge, it's already limited. So I can't say. But that is important because it exists with me. So I have to, anyway, I have to live there because I want to be saved. I want to be peaceful. That is a peaceful world. So very natural. How can I live? So salvation is necessary for us. Peace, harmony is necessary for us. So that's why Buddhist psychology and Abhidharma course are constantly talk about, you know, human consciousness. Do you understand? And finally, Buddhism, the Abhidharma Kosha mentions about not talking about, you know, no limitation of knowledge. They are talking about the ultimate, the final, the minute, the complete limitation, perfect limitation of knowledge, you know. End of the knowledge, very in detail. And then realize the Buddhism mentioned, Abhidharma mentions, you have to go beyond this one. Okay? So how can you go beyond this one? This is expressed in a word called negative, no. Ultimate nature of existence, something like that. That's it. But that no idea of no limitation is already limited. So what we can do, in according to our explanation, we have to go anyway through and through. You have to go to that limitation of knowledge, and then you realize it. And that time, world life is completely turned at 180 degrees. That is salvation. But when we are not, you know, enlightened, how can we enlighten? How can we attain enlightenment? That is so-called practice. That's why we Buddhas and ancestors put you in the practice. But we don't believe. This is a salvation. This is a practice of salvation. We don't believe it. So I'm not ignored. But I always taste how limited knowledge is. How the knowledge and the human speculation, human cognition is limited. emotionally and intellectually. We have to understand it.
Did you say taking care of the floor as Buddha? That sounds like it's coming from very much the delusional side, because to say take care of the floor, immediately there's a separation between
the self, that's right.
And the floor, and there's also the activating of the belief system. It sounds like to me a belief system that, you know, I ought to take care of this as a Buddha, so there's some idea of what a Buddha is, etc.
Yes, that's why Dogen Zenji mentions, well, what is the Buddha nature? You believe. That's why he says Buddha nature is, as Joshi Zen Master says, dog has a no Buddha nature. And sometimes he says dog has a Buddha nature. That is our belief system you mentioned, you know. So whatever you say, I believe Buddha. I believe the truth that we are Buddha. But this is already limited. So that's why Joshi has to say, no Buddha. Okay? But how can you know true Buddha? That's why Dogen Zenji finally says, no Buddha is pretty close to the true Buddha nature. That's it. That's why finally we use the negative term. So again and again we have to use the negative term and to awaken ourselves. Is that clear? So that is a what? That is a practice already. We have to practice, we have to deal. How can we deal with the flaw? That is a point, okay? When you deal, when you practice, there is a certain form we need, it's necessary. Because there are many forms, you know, to use to deal with the flaw. According to individual characters and personalities, and very different. That's why form is also refined, should be refined in order to be saved in the world of you and force, beyond the delusion of object or clarity of object. Because where is the salvation? Salvation is right there, in the practice.
So it's not really possible for you to say what it's like to be exactly in the flow experience or in the, you know, non-discriminating experience, because once you say that, you're not there. Is that one thing?
What did you say?
Once you try to explain what the difference is, what I understood Robert's question to be is, he was asking you to explain what the difference is in terms of experience between the delusional side and the flow experience, but you can't really. It's impossible. It's an impossible task to explain the difference, because the explanation is only within the delusional side.
Well, you can experience. You can talk about different. What the difference is, but if you come to the limitation of the difference in a term, you have to go beyond. You have to go beyond. There is no word. So that's why in the awareness of awakening of a face, how can you reach the Buddha stage of Buddha? That is the awakening of a face mentions Buddha. If you want to reach the Buddha stage as a final goal, you have to. I realize through and through minute vibration of the consciousness. That's it. So that is what we can do. Obviously explain what minute of vibration, and the minute vibration of consciousness. So that's why we can talk about different, but it's very difficult to talk about oneness of two things. But pretty close, we can talk oneness pretty close, but not exactly oneness. So if you want to experience total peace or so-called salvation, well, we don't know. I cannot talk about it. So all I have to do is to practice. That's it. So finally there is some gap between limitation of knowledge and also eternity, truth. We see the small gap there. Not small, very thin gap. For us, thin gap between is huge gap. But the human knowledge, we want to know how can fill out the understanding, fill it with stuff. We want to know how can go to the truth, free from that world. That is always we want to know. But it's impossible, actually. Because it's oneness, phenomena and the truth. It's one. So very naturally, what you can do is, through and through, you have to go deeply the limitation of a human existence, that's it. And then if you go reach there, then, simultaneously, limitation of experience is simultaneously the truth, eternity. That's why Awakening of Faith mentions about this, about the we can reach the Buddha stage.
Are one is really confusing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just about time.
I'm sorry. If you have something you can tell, then tell him. Okay. You have some?
Question, which I think might be related to that, but I'm not sure. But it is related to something Mike said in his talk the other day about lay practice and priest practice, and mm-hmm. how Dogen says in two different places mm-hmm. different things, is that you run across those contradictions often, it seems, in Buddhism, is that to try and take you beyond, to get you to that limitation of knowledge.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Dogen did mention in priest life, why Dogen did mention, priest life is highest level of spiritual life, he mentioned. On the other hand, no limitation, no limitation. So that is pretty contradictory. But what if you come to the dead end limitation of lay life, then actually you can go beyond this. So you want to do something. Do you understand? The same apply to the realization of limitation of human knowledge. Then you can go beyond. It's not your business. It's not individual business. It's really other Buddha's business. Is that clear? For instance, I always mention, you can study the station master. How can you become a station master? What is a station master's business and duties, As a laborist, as a professional, you can study. But what you really want to stage to be station master, you have to be. So how can you get into the professional station master? You have to know the limitation of, you know. Station master looking at the different labels, and they station master, you know. Do you understand? That is, but if you try to explain, there are two things always. But actually, it's not two, one. So very naturally, Dogen mentions that you can find the two different emphases in Dogen's emphasis, which seems to be contradictory, but he accepted both worlds, not ignored. But the people always mention, Dogen emphasizes always highest, priest life is highest. I don't think so. It's not discrimination.